Well, a listener wants to know about ghosts. Do ghosts really exist? If so, are they demons or are they disembodied spirits of the dead?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I was flying home last night from Phoenix and realized I'm home for a day, and then I fly to Jacksonville, Florida tomorrow. And wouldn't you know it, getting ready to leave, and we're just sitting on the tarmac for a while. And captain comes on and he says, and I was going to be getting home like around 11 at this point, all things going 11:30, something like that. Captain comes on and he says, oh, we've got a problem with the radio transmitter, we need to go back to the gate, get it repaired. At this point, I want everyone to stay on the plane. And I said to the flight attendant, that's not a good announcement. That's not a good sounding announcement. But I'm here. We're back. I'll tell you the rest of the story in a minute. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. It's Friday, which means, oh yeah, you've got questions. We've got answers. So anything you want to ask me in any areas of expertise I have, Bible translation, theology, apologetics, practical living for the Lord, moral, cultural issues, Israel, Jewish people, anything we talk about with a guest, this is your day to call in. You can challenge me on a point I've made. You can raise questions for further clarification or just say, you know, my wife and I were reading this passage and we're wondering about, you know, our church is having a discussion on this. And if you've heard something that's controversial to you or something that a particular church takes, you don't need to say who the person is. You don't need to say what the church is. And there are a few reasons for it. One reason is perhaps I'm listening to somebody one day and I mishear them. Then I call in a national radio show and I say, so-and-so said thus and such, and it's not even accurate. So it's one thing if we can play a clip and hear it, but this way we don't have to embarrass people. This way you don't have to talk about church splits, but we can talk about the most controversial issues. We just don't need to mention all the names and details, just the issues. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And I'll look over at our Facebook page as well in case questions are posted there that I might be able to get to. That's Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown, one word, on Facebook. Okay, so we get back to the gate. They're working on things for a while. Finally, pilot comes back on and he says, all right, it's going to be about 20 more minutes and then we'll be pushing out. We finish and we just sit there. We're just sitting there for a while. And I said to the flight attendant, I said, something's not right. Something doesn't feel right. She said, oh, you're just being Mr. Negative. I said, no, I'm very optimistic. It just doesn't, something doesn't feel right. And sure enough, after a while, guy comes back on and says, oh, we've got another problem. Now, that's rare. Two mechanical problems. We've got another problem. He said, but I'm sure it's just a matter of flipping a switch on and turning it off and on, and we get the mechanics back on here. So they finally did. I mean, the first they had to get the part in. The second time they come in, comes back on after a while. It'll be another 20 minutes. But anyway, got home safe and sound. And tomorrow, leave for Jacksonville. Any of you listening, my dear listening family in the greater Jacksonville area, Florida, we're talking about, please join me Sunday morning and Sunday night at Bishop Paul Zink's church. It's a fine congregation. Paul is a friend and co-worker, and I believe the morning service I'll be preaching a message on Israel shall be saved, opening up the word and building your faith. And then at night, the coming revival revolution, I believe, will stir your heart with vision. So if you're anywhere in that area, please join us. All right, I've got a bunch of e-questions I'm looking at, and from America and from some different nations as well. And then I'm going to take your calls. Brenda asks, I've seen video of the miracles of the Bay Revival out of Alabama. They're traveling throughout the U.S. and many miracles are happening. I've even met someone healed at one of them. What is your take of this? I believe this could be part of the great revival. My dear friend, John Kilpatrick, who's the pastor of Brownsville Assembly during the Brownsville Revival, of which I had the privilege of participating for 4 years, is the leader at the church where this has been happening. And as far as I can tell, Jesus is genuinely healing people and touching people. Some of the miracles are verified. Hey, why not? That's our God. That's the Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. You've got questions. We've got answers. Phone lines are open, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Boy, some very interesting and personally serious e-questions, some just interesting, some funny, some very, very serious, and we'll be getting to them in this hour and the next hour as well for those that will be listening to both. Do I want to go there now? All right. The question about ghosts comes up. Ghosts. Ooh. Ghosts. What are ghosts? It's from Sally. Are ghosts dead people? Dreams? Are dead people's dreams bleeding into the land of the living? Are ghosts evil spirits appearing as those who've departed? If ghosts can be the spirits of the departed, why are they not resting in peace or at their final destination and not hanging around Earth? All right, all right, all right. Enough with the... Thanks, thanks. Well done. Very well done, team. Ghosts. I got a question for you. Now, it's your day to ask me questions, and we'll get to as many of your questions as possible. But I want to ask you a question. Do any of you believe you've seen a ghost? It's not a mocking question. It's not a mocking question. I'm not making fun of this. I'm not saying if you think you saw a ghost, you're crazy. Or I'm just asking if you ever believe that you've actually seen a ghost. Isn't that Ghost Hunters TV show or something like that? But then if you believe you've actually seen a ghost, I'm just curious. Maybe you're involved in the occult before you came to the Lord. Maybe you've had some interesting experience. Maybe you live in a haunted house. Okay. In short, I have no idea when most people claim that ghosts or haunting or something like that, if it's actually true. Did something actually happen? Is it just the wind blowing through the house? Is it some strange coincidence of a few strange things happening in the same place? Or is there something really going on? If something is really going on, then I am convinced if something is really going on, it has to be demons. There is no evidence that we have that you can consult or commune with spirits of the dead. You have one instance in 1 Samuel where the spirit of Samuel is called up and he rebukes Saul. There's debate about that. There's debate. Was that actually Samuel that was called up from the dead? If so, it was the total exception. The witch involved with it is totally shocked. Deuteronomy 18 forbids the children of Israel from consulting with the dead, familiar spirits, as they'd be called. But according to everything I understand, yes, either someone would hold that the dead are in a sleep state until the resurrection, or the vast majority of us would understand that upon death, the spirits of the righteous go to be with the Lord, and the spirits of the unrighteous are in a place of separation and suffering until the resurrection, when there will be the final reckoning of eternal life for those that have been with the Lord and eternal judgment for those who have been separated from him. So it doesn't mean that we're, let's say there's a believer, a family member that's gone on to be with the Lord. Is it possible that that person sees us and knows what's happening here in the world? It's possible. I know it's comforting to many believers. Maybe you've been married many, many years and your spouse dies and goes to be with the Lord and you have a sense that they're cheering you on. It could be true, but the Bible doesn't address that, and what makes clear, what is totally clear, is that we are not to try to commune with the dead, with the spirits of the departed. That is totally, absolutely clear. However, that being said, if there are actually ghosts, strange manifestations, things happening, it's got to be demons. It's got to be demons. They are the ones roving around. They are the ones working destruction. They are the ones under Satan's orders and part of his destructive army. So if there is something real with a real manifestation of some kind where someone actually sees some spirit, some being, you say, well, look like the departed loved one. Well, I'm sure demons can appear in different ways. 2 Corinthians 11 chapter says that Satan himself appears as an angel of light. So that would be no surprise. And that's the devil's way of trying to confuse people, seances, this whole bit. I read about one Christian leader. He lived 1870 to 1935, I believe. He'd been a missionary in South Africa for a number of years and back in the States. And he was always fascinated by science, and he was fascinated by the spiritual realm, and he was fascinated by the satanic power and how that power was under God's power. Well, he went to a seance, and at that seance, they allegedly called up the spirit of some departed woman that he knew had gotten saved at a certain point in time. So he just sat there and watched, and they called up the spirit of this woman, and she's speaking from the grave and all this. And if something was really happening, in other words, if it's not some setup and someone voicing something in from another room or some ventriloquy, excuse me, or something like that, then the one thing for sure, it was a demon. So at a certain point, he jumps in and asks the question, what happened to you on such and such a night and such a time when you came forward to receive Jesus Christ as Lord? The whole thing, that was it. That was it. That ended it right then and there. So if there are real things that you have seen that have appeared, that have had some power, that have brought some kind of darkness or attack, it would be demons. Demons. Now, I want to say one more thing about this. I've got a question for those who look at what happened in Bible days as relevant then, but not so relevant today. I've got a question for you, all right? This is not to mock your belief. This is not to make you feel bad about what you believe. I just want to raise a question. Many would say, well, the sick were healed miraculously in New Testament times, but that's not for today. God can heal who he wants, but we can't expect that to happen. Okay, I understand. I differ with that position, but I understand. And then they'll say, yeah, driving out demons and all that. That was something that happened very frequently. Jesus did it all the time. I mean, that's how he characterized his ministry in one particular text in Luke 13, when he said, today and tomorrow, I'm going to preach the kingdom, I'm going to heal the sick, drive out demons. So that was a major part of his ministry. I'm just wondering about something. For those who say that driving out demons is not for today, where'd all the demons go? Where'd they go? I mean, they were very present in Jesus' ministry. Oh, yes, the light exposes the darkness. Oh, yes, just like a light at night and during the summer, and the bugs come flying to it, they're attracted to it. So God's light, God's kingdom advancing, exposes the darkness. But where'd all the demons go? If there were demons that were so present, and if Paul can talk about the spiritual warfare that ran in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, where are all the demons? Wouldn't that suggest that there's still demonic activity and demonic power today, and that we as God's people should be taking authority over Satan? Now, I think about Satan very little, to be honest with you. I'm very much focused on the Lord. And I personally think about Satan very little. And yet I know there's a spiritual battle. There are real demons. They're out to seduce. They're out to destroy. And there are times when we are driving out demons in Jesus' name. And there are people that need deliverance from demonic power based on Scripture. Now, here's the thing, though. I know people that have ministries of deliverance, and they get the demons. Well, I shouldn't say they're not colleagues of mine. I've just heard of some friends of friends doing this, that they were driving demons out of people, and the demons were giving all this information, and they're getting all this revelation. You don't get doctrine from demons. You don't get spiritual information from they're in the dark side. They know. Maybe a demonic spirit speaking through someone will say two things true and one thing false. What's the goal? Deception. So base your beliefs on Scripture, not on a deliverance experience. All right? 866-34-TRUTH. Let me grab a call quickly. Moses in Newark, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Yes, Moses, you're on the air. Go ahead, Moses.
Yes. Hello. Yeah, I actually have a question. Why shouldn't Christians keep the Sabbath? And, well, there's two questions. And also, what would constitute a generation? How many years? Would it be 100 years? I didn't get a chance to hear the full show yesterday.
All right, tell you what, Moses, let's do this. We have a few seconds before the break, so I'm going to start to answer your question now and then answer the rest on the other side of the break. I've answered the Sabbath question many, many times. At some length, we've even had shows on it. If you go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and click on the word Sabbath, you'll find full answers. In short, God did not command the entire world to keep the seventh-day Sabbath. It was a covenant he made between him and Israel. And the New Testament makes clear that we are not to divide or judge one another based on observance of Sabbath or not. Ultimately, our Sabbath rest is found in Jesus. If God writes it on your heart to set the seventh day aside or the eighth day aside as a Sabbath to the Lord, do it. All right, be back with your generational length question.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH. You've got questions. We've got answers. Hey, all next week, do your best to tune into as many of the broadcasts as you can. You will be inspired. You will be challenged. You'll be equipped. The theme for the week, it's time to stand. Also on Tuesday, I'll be joined by an apologist, biologist from Reasons to Believe. We'll be talking about the importance of standing for truth as well. Do your best to tune in every day next week. If you miss a broadcast, catch up at our website, AskDrBrown.org. 866-348-7884. Okay, Moses, the question that was discussed yesterday was the length of a generation.
Yeah.
Genesis 15 makes reference to the fourth generation and the iniquity of the Amorites. And it's actually a period of about 400 years. And the Hebrew word, the Semitic words related to that, could, in the ancient world, actually refer to a 100-year time span. But that's not the normal usage. One caller pointed to Psalm 90, where the length of human life, the expected life, is 70 years or 80, if you're really strong. But again, that's talking about the length of one human life. If we compute just in terms of society, what an actual generation is, it's between 20 and 30 years, because you've got someone old enough to get married, has kids, they have their kids. So each one of those, that's a new generation. So here I'm 57, and we've got kids, we've got grandkids, and say potentially in 10 years, the grandkids could have kids. So generation could just be 20, 30 years long. But most commonly, It refers to a 40-year period in the Bible. That's basically the rough time frame. But it's actually not as explicit in Scripture as some might think. In other words, it's not like there is a statement, a generation equals 40 years.
Okay.
All right. So, I mean, I can give you all the information as I did, and 40 years would be something the most commonly understood. All right, hey, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Michael in Brooklyn wanting to weigh in on the ghost issue. Go ahead.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well.
Yeah, I just want to quickly comment, like what you're saying. You're saying the truth. You know, people are so caught up in this spiritual realm that when their loved one died, they think their loved one speak to them and all that. And the word of God makes us to understand that it's appointed not a man to die once, and after that, it's judgment.
Yes.
So what I believe is that if somebody died unsaved, what happened are the evil spirit impersonate those people that died without Christ and come and speak to their loved one to put them in bondage. So like you said, it is a demonic spirit.
Yes, sir.
There's nobody that comes from the dead to come and speak to somebody. People got to open your eyes and believe in Jesus. That is really the only answer to all these problems. There's many people that are in bondage right now. But it's so called, my late mom was speaking to me, my late dad was speaking to me, my uncle was speaking to me, not knowing that it's demonic spirit that is speaking to them. You know?
Michael, you're absolutely right. You've experienced it yourself. It is for the purpose of deception. It is to bring people into bondage. It is not to present the truth to them. It is demons, period. Hey, thank you for the call, and thank you for the warning. Perhaps there's someone listening right now that you think you've got departed loved ones speaking to you and giving you counsel. Here's someone who's been through that, and who recognizes what the word says plainly. It's demonic. It's a lie. Resist it, break it. If you're oppressed, call out to Jesus. If you don't know the Lord, find a friend of yours that knows Jesus and say, pray with me. I need freedom from this junk, and they will go away. Thank you, sir, for the call. Yeah, I know the whole topic of ghosts can sound kind of like Twilight Zone-ish. Oh, yeah. Was there a thing like for X-Files? Is the paranormal? Everybody's into... Ooh. All right, that was good. Thanks. Everybody's into that. But the fact is, this is a serious issue. This is a serious issue. And I really appreciate Michael calling and sharing what he did, because people are opening themselves up to supernatural powers and things and forces, and instead of looking to the Lord. I believe that the interest in the supernatural and the paranormal, be it in the Harry Potter movies, be it in the X-Files, be it in these other forms, is partly reflective of a hunger and thirst for people to know the true God and the real supernatural realm. But these things bring us into the realm of darkness. All right, one more call on the ghost subject. David in Miami, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, two things about the ghost. Number one, in Revelation, it talks about certain people that had died already.
All right, guys. Thanks for the... Was it the Exorcist theme? Thanks. All right, go ahead, David. This is serious. Go ahead, please.
Church, certain people in Revelation that had died were aware of what was going on Earth. So I'm not sure exactly when it changes, but apparently at some point the dead are aware of what's going on Earth during the time of the tribulation. Am I correct?
Well, David, in Revelation, the sixth chapter, there are the martyrs who are beneath the throne of God crying out, how long before our blood is avenged? But do they know exactly what's happening? It doesn't say that. They're waiting. They're eager to find out. But it doesn't say that explicitly. It's possible, but it's not explicitly taught in Scripture. Therefore, I'm very cautious about it, and I certainly make no doctrine based on it. It's just speculation. And the other question...
The other question is, all these programs, I've had experiences also where it seems as if something other than what I can explain has been benevolent towards me. So if they're demons, they seem to be benevolent demons. I've had people that have asked sort of affirmations of people that have stopped getting hurt or getting burned or saved their lives, and they attribute it to a form or aspiration. Maybe angels,
Let me just jump in, David, because we've got a break coming. There is a spiritual realm, and there are angelic beings. Hebrews 1 says they are sent to minister to us who are the heirs of salvation. I have a whole teaching series on angels, demons, and deliverance that we've offered over the broadcast here. You can order it on our website, AskDrBrown.org. And in point of fact, there could be angelic beings that have been active, that have been seen and revealed. It does happen in the Bible. It's rare, but it does happen. That being the case, when we look for them, when we base doctrine on them, when we try to commune with them, that's where problems and issues can come up. And it could very well be demons masquerading as ambassadors of light. Thank you for the call. All right, friends, we did this yesterday. We're going to do it again today. The Real Kosher Jesus hardcover is nearly $25 plus postage, so it's about $30. Here's the deal. Get the Real Kosher Jesus hardcover. We're the only ones that have the hardcover. Can't get it anywhere else. And we'll send you the paperback free with it, which is worth another $16. So two books for the price of one, the Real Kosher Jesus hardcover and softcover. Perhaps the most eye-opening book you'll read about Jesus in many, many years, and a great outreach tool for your Jewish friends. Two books for the price of one, but order today, 1-800-278-9978. Our team's ready to take your call right now, 1-800-278-9978. Once more, 1-800-278-9978. Hey, friends, the weekend's coming. Let's go make an impact for Jesus.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the line of fire. Michael Brown, my joy, my privilege, my honor to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You've got questions. We've got answers straight to the phones. Cynthia in Hyattsville, Maryland. Thanks for calling the line of fire. Hello,
yes,
Cynthia.
Hi.
Got me turned down in the back there?
Yes,
go
I'm
ahead.
Here. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. I just wanted to ask if pastors are going to be, you know, held for hate crimes for preaching about, same-sex marriage. Is that going to compromise our human rights advocacy internationally, for example, with the activist Chen?
All right, well, there are a couple of questions there. First question is it possible that in years to come in America, that pastors who oppose homosexual practice, pastors who oppose same-sex so-called marriage, pastors who oppose the indoctrination of our children with homosexual activism in the schools, could they be charged with hate speech, hate crimes? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Now, people will ridicule me if this gets picked up by certain gay websites or folks that monitor programs like this. I'll get ridiculed for it. But I've been ridiculed for saying other things that are happening now already. The fact is that pastors and Catholic priests in Canada have been banned for life from making statements about homosexuality. They can't publish it. They can't print it in any form. They can't put it on internet. They can't speak. Banned for life. There are things that are so outrageous. I mentioned in England earlier this year, the High Court of England ruled that a Christian couple could no longer adopt or provide foster care for children unless the children get, quote, infected with Christianity.
Oh my
there
goodness.
Is a bill, SB 1172. All of you listening in California, you need to call your representatives. This is urgent. SB 1172 that will make it illegal for counselor, a therapist, psychologist. We're talking about a licensed professional. Will make it illegal for them to counsel someone under 18 years old who has unwanted same-sex attraction. So if a 17-year-old kid tells his mom and dad, look, I have these homosexual tendencies. I'm not at home with them. I feel God has something better for me. And I feel there's some root issues. I'd like to look at that. Can you bring me to a counselor? It'll be illegal. This is for a professional counselor. So what's going to happen with church? We'll see what happens after that. I mean, hopefully this won't go through. And if you just go and you're an adult, in order for them to do the counseling, you'll have to sign all these forms. I understand this won't work. I understand this could be dangerous. I mean, it's outrageous. So in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, and then in the mini book, A Stealth Agenda, we give clear warnings about what's happening. Now, here's the deal. We are putting pressure on other nations already to accept our views about homosexual activism. We're putting pressure on other countries that say you're going to have to recognize their rights, meaning if they want to redefine marriage. It's one thing that we all stand against people being brutalized or attacked or killed or harassed or persecuted because of sexual orientation or gender identity. We don't, someone identifies as a homosexual, we don't want them killed or fired from a job simply because they're different. I mean, unless that itself gets in the way of the job or the conviction, say, of a Christian bookstore owner or something like that. But we are putting pressure on other nations. Hillary Clinton's speech in Geneva, UN speech made it clear that we are putting pressure on other nations. They want our funding. They want our backing. They're going to have to toe the line here. So in that sense, it undermines us already. And then once human rights becomes just a completely hypocritical term, in other words, rights for some but not rights for others, restriction of the religious and moral convictions of hundreds of millions of people, if not billions, around the world, then it becomes an absolute travesty. But friends, be forewarned. Be forewarned. People are already getting silent out of fear of consequences for speaking. What happens if things get more extreme? That's one reason we're on the air. Sound of the trumpet. Thanks for the call, Cynthia.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on this Friday on The Line of Fire. You've got questions. We've got answers. Another reminder to my friends listening in Jacksonville, Florida, Sunday morning, Sunday night, New Life Church, Bishop Paul Zink, the pastor there. Sunday morning, Sunday night, I'll be ministering the Word, God willing. Go to my website, askdrbrown.org. Right on the homepage, you'll find the itinerary. When I got a call, well, a week and a half ago, almost 2 weeks ago, from a young lady, college student, and I was telling her that there are other reasons than biblical reasons for opposing the redefinition of marriage, and that one reason is kids do best with a mom and dad. She challenged me on that, and I said, well, I'm happy to send you links for resources and so on, but she didn't want that. I said, I'm happy to send you as a gift my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, 700 pages, 1,500 endnotes. She didn't want that. But we've gotten some letters from others since then, some emails. So this reflects questions that others are asking. So let me take a moment on the air and reply to Steve. Can you send me links on studies showing homosexuality is detrimental to people, kids, society, relationships, etc.? I heard on your broadcast that you have this available but can't find it on your site. And then Derek, Dr. Brown, I listen to your show every day and I'm daily stirred with passion for Jesus while listening and learning from your broadcast. By the way, thank you, Derek, for that kind word. During your program yesterday, so I guess it goes back to May 10th, a little over a week ago, you were debating with a young college girl about studies that prove the negative effects of homosexuality in our society. You offered to send her these studies. Is it possible for you to send to me? Thanks. All right. First thing, if you go to aqueerthing.com, that's the website for my book, aqueerthing.com, go there and click on Get Involved. Once you enter the site, click on Get Involved. And then just look for the subject of interest to you. If you look for children's education or things like that, you'll find lots and lots of relevant links right there. Also, if you'll go to ruthinstitute.org, like Ruth from the Bible, one word, ruthinstitute.org, you'll find many, many relevant and helpful studies about the importance of marriage and marriage as God intended it. Also, if you go to the website cross-examined with a D at the end, crossexamined.org, my friend Frank Turek, Dr. Frank Turek's website, he has a book, Correct But Not Politically Correct, How Same-Sex Marriage Hurts Everyone. And he doesn't quote the Bible in it. It is based completely and entirely on social, cultural arguments. And there's a lot of great data in there. Now, he has a lot of the information free online. And then the book I would highly recommend getting. It's a short book. I went through it carefully before it was published, and it's an excellent primer on the subject, but in real depth. It's short and clear and will introduce you to the key issues. Also, the website AmericansForTruth.org. AmericansForTruth.org, my friend Peter LaBarbera. And by the way, I get blasted for being a friend of Peter LaBarbera and Frank Turek, and Frank Turek and Peter LaBarbera get blasted for being my friends, so that's just the way it works. So they are friends and co-workers, and I'm proud to say that. Peter LaBarbera's site, AmericansForTruth.org, it's Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is the full name, but AmericansForTruth.org, if you go there, you'll find article after article after article about negative issues relating to homosexual practice. If you're listening and you're same-sex attracted, I want to say the same thing to you that I've said over and again. Jesus died for heterosexual and homosexual alike, shed the same blood. We're all created in God's image, and we're all fallen human beings, and we all need redemption. And often the church has done a terrible job of being family and reaching out to those with same-sex attraction or identify as bisexual or transgender. We failed in those ways, and from my heart, I apologize for our failings. At the same time, I will not redefine marriage or have our children indoctrinated or throw out the Bible based on the sexual and romantic attractions of human beings, be they 2% of the population or 98% of the population. Truth is truth, and what's best is best. So I care about all individuals. I do oppose gay activism. So AmericansForTruth.org will give you lots of information in terms of negative consequence of homosexual practice and analyze many of the stories in the news. RuthInstitute.org will give you lots of information about marriage and why it matters and how God established male-female marriage and the importance of it. Frank Turek's book, Correct But Not Politically Correct, will give you social information as well about same-sex marriage, so-called marriage, and why it's harmful and why natural, organic marriage, the way God intended it, is best. And then, of course, if you have my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, there's a massive amount of data on the larger issues of gay activism and the effects that that has on our culture from children's schools right through our churches. And then the website, aqueerthing.com, the book website, aqueerthing.com. If you go there, then you will discover the Get Involved site or the Get Involved page, and that'll give you tons of relevant information. All right, back to the phones. In fact, let's just stay on the subject. Tom in Boston just spotted your call, and since it's relevant, please join us.
Hello?
Yes, Tom. Go
hey,
ahead.
How are you, Doctor?
I'm blessed, thanks.
Oh, praise the Lord. I just got your stealth agenda the other day, and I've been reading it. And, you know, I come to the conclusion, or I'm coming to the conclusion, that it's okay with me, I think, whatever two people want to do by themselves. You know what I mean? How can I really get involved in someone else's life? You know what I mean? Like that. I will be a voice and talk about it. But what I think what I'm really concerned about is them wanting to get to my sons and my daughter and other people's children. You know what I mean?
Tom, yeah, let's just make clear, we're not talking about that homosexual men are sexual predators trying to chase down our children. We know in the schools how many heterosexual teachers have had sex with students. I mean, we hear about with women, with underage boys all the time. There's an epidemic of sexual encounters, and it's heterosexual, it's homosexual. What we're talking about is getting to our kids in terms of education, in terms of through the media, in terms of indoctrinating them, in terms of influencing them negatively with a message that encourages homosexuality and that blurs distinction between heterosexuality and homosexuality. And that's the big concern. What kind of world are we giving to our kids and our grandkids?
Sure. Dr. Brown, have you ever heard of Mass Resistance?
Yes, of course.
Organization?
Surely.
Yeah. You know, they put forth stuff that's going on in schools, you know, different organizations that get involved in schools and certain things that they promote. So when I say get to my boys, I that's what I mean, basically.
Exactly. They're and on a serious level. And when they're getting into their teen years and stuff, and you've got the gay-straight alliances in the schools, many of these are the gateway for sexual encounters. Many of them are the gateway for sexual encounters with older gay men and women. And massresistance.org, oh, they're hated even more than I'm hated. Brian Kammacher and Amy Contrada, yeah, they're hated more than I'm hated, which is difficult these days. Massresistance.org, they've got tons of eye-opening information. And the problem with their stuff, for those who don't like them, is they've got the pictures, and they've got the quotes, and they've got the videos. So it's hard to deny, isn't it?
Yes, sir. You know, I don't want to live my life under a rock, and I want to look back at the end of my days and say, okay, I did something for somebody else. I want to be a voice for reason, and I believe it's okay to stand up and voice my opinion, whatever it is. And I don't feel as though I need to be afraid of getting bashed or lambasted backwards because I disagree. I think mm-hmm. America was built on differing opinions. So I guess I don't want to be afraid of being attacked verbally or in public if I stand up like at a town meeting or something and say, no, I vote right against this school committee type of thing. So, you know, I'm basically looking for some encouragement and a little bit of direction. What is a guy like me to do?
Yeah, well, because you're in Boston, if you're in touch with the Mass Resistance folks, yeah, they have a lot of action points. The legislator is voting on this, you know, that, say, a cross-dressing man has the right to use a woman's bathroom in a restaurant or something like that. Or here's a vote that's going to be taking place on this issue or that or in the school board. So if you're in touch with their website and get their e-blasts, they will keep you equipped. If you go to the website for my book, aqueerthing.com, click on Get Involved. It'll give you lots of pointers. And the two key things I'd say, number one, really pray for a heart for the people. As much as I take a stand against activism, my heart breaks to see homosexual men and women encounter the love and goodness of God. So ask for God's heart towards the people, recognizing also that it's only a small minority of them that are the aggressive activists. And then get yourself informed so that you can communicate in a literate, loving way. Because when you feel that you have the information, it's much easier to speak. When we're afraid, then we don't know what to say. Then cross that line that I'm willing to take any reproach for Jesus. So stay in touch with the Mass Resistance folks. Go to aqueerthing.com. Click on Get Involved. Get a heart for the people. Get informed. Thanks for making a difference, Tom. Go for it. We need you. We need you.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on this Friday. You've got questions. We've got answers. 866-34-TRUTH. Back to the phones. John in Washington, D.C. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just had a comment about previous program, I believe, discussing, among other things, the Moses account of creation in 7 24-hour calendar days. And I'm going by memory here, but several years ago I read an article by an Israeli astrophysicist, and his first and or last name, I think, began with A, or maybe double A, maybe Aaron. I don't quite remember, but I'm referring you to that if you want to research it further. But I thought he gave an excellent, reasonable explanation. And it goes like this, that time is relative, depending upon the observer. Person could leave the Earth at the speed of light, or close to it, and be gone Earth time many, many years, and come back, and would the resident on the rocket ship would be only a few minutes old. So
right.
He was pointing out that time is relative. Well, Moses had to be either revealed or he was taken up to heaven by God to show him what happened. We don't know the relationship between Earth time and eternal time. We do know that it can be different. Peter says 1,000 years are like a day, and a day like 1,000 years. So there's some mysterious aspects about it.
Yeah, I have, just based on the biblical text alone, I do not feel that we have to hold to a literal 7-day creation. Now, I'm not a scientist, so I'm not really influenced by scientific opinion either way. In other words, there are scientists that are New Earth creationists. There are scientists that are Old Earth creationists. There are scientists who are atheists. I'm not sufficiently educated in it to base my primary opinion on that. Based on studying Scripture alone, I'm not convinced that we need to be talking about seven literal days. Yes, when it's referred to elsewhere in Scripture, in 6 days the Lord created the heavens and the earth, that is mentioned. I understand that. And was it believed when it was being quoted that it was six literal days, or was that not even the issue? To me, it's nothing to divide over and nothing to battle over. Gerald Schroeder is another brilliant Jewish scientist and student of Scripture who's presented these things from different angles as well. But, John, suffice it to say that I feel it's a fair question to ask on many, many different levels, how we are to understand the 6 days of creation and the seventh day of God's rest. And in the back of my head, I have some of the articles that you're talking about. I've just got to locate them exactly. But thank you, sir, for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. Sandra in the Bronx, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
Hi, you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, how are you, sir?
I'm very well. How about you?
I'm good. I just want to thank God for you.
I appreciate that.
I heard your station every day. It's, you know, as much time as I get. I thank God for you because I think you speak the truth and you're bold about things that are in the Bible.
Well, hey, if it's the truth and it's from the Lord, we can be nothing but bold. How can
Amen.
We be ashamed of his truth? Yes, thank you, son. Okay. So what's on your mind?
Okay, I have a question.
Yeah.
I had a friend that went to a Pentecostal church last week, and there was a prophet. He came, and he started calling people by names and number.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can I ask you something? Is this not a spirit of a divination?
Well, it could be the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in the New Testament often gave very specific information. For example, in Luke, the 7th chapter, Jesus answers someone's thoughts, and Peter knows the truth about Ananias and Sapphira in Acts, the 5th chapter, and then God gives details to both Cornelius and his people, and then to Simon, Peter, in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. There is information that God can give. That being said, it's possible that the thing was a fraud. It's possible that the person got information somehow and set it up to look real. It's possible that it was being done by a familiar spirit. And it's possible it was the Holy Spirit at work. You say, well, how would you tell? Well, if it's the Holy Spirit at work, it's going to draw people to Jesus. If it's the Holy Spirit at work, you're not going to be brought under the person's power. They will not be manipulating you, nor will they be doing this. Sandra in the Bronx, license plate of your car is this and this, last digits of your social security number are this or this, and the Lord's saying you are to give me your inheritance of $20,000. No, that's either that's complete false manipulation or that is demonic. But the Holy Spirit would never work like that or do anything like that. But as far as the Holy Spirit having specific information, hey, there have been meetings I've been in. I remember a meeting in D.C. where the Lord was really moving powerfully, and there was a guy sitting there mocking the meeting many years ago. And I said, Lord, he shouldn't be mocking. This is your presence. And the Lord said to me, he's a pickpocket. And I went and talked right directly to him and talked about a conversation he was having earlier before the church service started, that he was so smooth at being a pickpocket. And I just spoke it. And he looked at his friend with a big smile. And the pastor called me afterwards and said, tell me this thing about the pickpocket. I said, oh, it was that guy in this row, this. He goes, well, yeah, everything you said is exactly true. And his attitude has changed. So the Holy Spirit can do that. I have no reason to doubt that. I also know it's possible human beings can manipulate and try to make something look like the Lord. And there are frauds out there. And I know that there can be familiar spirits, demonic spirits, that can operate and have information. But to say the Holy Spirit wouldn't or couldn't do that, oh no, absolutely no reason to say that. Certainly the Holy Spirit could and does, but it's to draw people to the Lord. It's to exalt Jesus. It's to bring liberty. It's to show them how much God cares about them as individuals and knows their name. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. If you get online now, I'll take your call in the second hour. And Lanny, tell you what, you said you've seen a ghost. I want you to stay on. I wasn't going to carry the ghost conversation into the next hour, but Andrew, Lanny can stay on as well. All right. This is a great day to order the Real Kosher Jesus. We are getting phenomenal reports from readers. I mean, they're blown away. Their eyes are open, and they're giving out to Jewish friends now who are interested in getting it. Christians are reading it and getting blown away by the content. The Lord really helped me write this book. And here's the deal now. It's normally $25 plus postage for the hardcover version. We're the only ones that have the hardcover. You can't get it in any bookstore. You can't get it online. Only our ministry. Plus postage puts it around $30. We're giving you with that free a paperback version. So $2 for the price of one. The paperback is $16. You're getting both the hardcover and the paperback for $30, and we're paying the postage. Can't beat it. 1-800-278-9978 to order. You've got to do this by phone. It's not online. 1-800-278-9978 to order. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Take advantage of that today. My bottom line, there is a very real spiritual realm. There are demons. There are angels. There is spiritual revelation. But let us base everything on the Word of God. Let it be centered around the exaltation of Jesus and practical living, and we will avoid deception. Well, we often hear that homosexual practice is unnatural, but we're told the animals do it. How do we respond?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, here we are on this Friday, back home for a day. Flew from Phoenix last night, home today, then off for Jacksonville, Florida tomorrow. So if you're listening in Jacksonville, you got to join me Sunday. Come on, I'm coming your way. Well, I'm in church Sunday morning. Well, Sunday morning and Sunday night, I'll be ministering at New Life Church in Jacksonville. So be there. We'll have great services. Trusting the Lord's going to meet us. Preaching on the salvation of Israel in the morning. That should be a faith-building, eye-opening message. Then at night, the coming revival revolution. I believe your hearts will be stirred. I believe to sign books and greet you as well. Sunday morning, Sunday night in Jacksonville. All right, you've got questions. We've got answers. 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. Online, ask drbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. I'm going to get right into the question I was asked. Just yesterday the email came in. It was in time to get to me for questions for today that we look at and consider. And it's the one that we just asked at the lead into the broadcast. It's from Tracy. I would just like to know what Dr. Brown has to say about homosexuality in the animal kingdom. Is this true? Many gays justify their homosexuality by saying that it exists throughout nature and therefore it is natural and even biological. I would like to hear his opinions on this in one of his future broadcasts. God bless. Well, your question made it right here. I actually addressed this in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, and I actually got books on it, one called, I believe, Biological Exuberance, where it goes from species after species after species and points to alleged homosexual behavior among these different species. So how do we relate to that? What do we say? If we say homosexual practice is unnatural, this may offend some, but as one man once put it, you don't put the gas pump into the exhaust pipe of the car. In other words, it wasn't designed for that. Well, animals do it. Animals do it. First, it is a tiny, tiny percentage overall of animal species that engage in same-sex behavior. That's the first thing. The second thing is that there are animals that eat their young. There are animals that have sexual relations, or I'll call it sexual relations, that perform sexual acts on their young. There are some species of animals or insects. They were talking about the natural world, right? The animal kingdom and insect, all that. After the sexual act, that the female eats the male. Kills the male, eats the male. So to say animals do it, so? That's the justification. And in point of fact, as others have pointed out, there's no homosexual instinct in animals. It's poor science to read human motivations and sentiments into animal behavior. And irrational animal behavior is not a yardstick to determine what is morally acceptable for rational man. Gay scientist Dean Hamer, writing with Peter Copeland, had this famous quote: pigs don't date, ducks don't frequent stripper bars, and horses don't get married. They also point out that biology is amoral. It offers no help distinguishing between right and wrong. Only people guided by their values and beliefs can decide what is moral and what is not. There are some animals, it can be for domination purposes, it can be for other purposes, that engage in so-called homosexual acts, but to transfer that over and to say that, well, animals do it, humans can do it, is not only an insult to the human race, but opens you up to all kinds of other abusive and crazy and wild things that animals do. And plus, there is not a real parallel to, here's a romantic relationship between two male animals and they want to bond and spend the rest of their lives together. Forget about it. Thanks for the question.
Fire we plead, and the It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Boy, I got so many e-questions. Let me do this quickly. Stephanie and Matt were asking a similar question. Stephanie, I was interested in sharing a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America, but my friend is blind. Do you have an online version that is audio or something he can read, or is there a capability of digital copies via Kindle or something like that? And then Matt had a similar question. We have not recorded this as an audio book. We took some steps to start with that, but we have not actually recorded this as an audio book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. However, if you get it on Kindle for Amazon as an ebook, and it's very inexpensive to do that. In fact, for a 700-page book, we probably underpriced it, but the goal is to get it out, of course. Then there is an audio function. I believe it's an automatic audio function. I don't believe it has to be specially set up like that. I believe once it's in Kindle that you can just hit the audio function and it can be read to you. Any of you that have the book on Kindle, you can confirm that for me. All right. 866-34-TRUTH to the phones. Monica in Houston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I'm actually not really asking a question as much as I'm just encouraging people that maybe are hearing all the stuff about what's going on with homosexuality in the schools and just in all the things that the kids are hearing. My daughter fell into that for a while when she was in high school, and it's very accepted, but part of it is that for us is that I think a lot of times we fail to engage in it because it is so uncomfortable, and we are in a spiritual battle, and it requires so much prayer and just coming against, just like you said, coming against the spirit that was at work trying to take over her mind and her very soul. Mm.
So Monica, she was, up until that time, she was just normal girl, normal attractions, normal desires, would you say?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. You know, there are plenty that would say, hey, you know, all my life I felt different. And when my friends started getting attracted to the opposite sex, I was attracted to the same sex. But there are lots and lots of kids these days, because of the bombardment from the media and the atmosphere in the schools, especially among girls, it can be very common. One of my friends in New York City was speaking at a Catholic high school, and 50% of the girls in the Catholic high school identified as lesbian. Someone in North Carolina, a pastor in rural North Carolina, came up to me after a meeting and wanted me to know that in the high school in rural North Carolina that his daughter went to, that her friend loves to play softball. She's on the girls' softball team. She just quit the team because she was the only non-lesbian on the girls' softball team at a rural high school in North Carolina. So this bisexual experimentation and girl-with-girl kissing, it's all over the media. Hollywood is putting it forth. I've read articles about how Hollywood is putting it forth. It's the new thing. Girls are now experimenting in it, and obviously it's a way to get guys' attention, looking at them and the whole bit. And then it's a total stronghold. So the high school influence got her into this. Has she been able to tell you, now that she's come through this and as you've loved her and prayed her through this, what opened the door, how she took these steps, Monica?
It really was, and I'm just telling you, it really was. It was a demonic attack. The enemy knows where she was weak and where she was, he looks for the weak area.
Yes.
And so I saw her get darker and literally get darker. Her clothes got darker. Her makeup got darker. Everything got darker. Her countenance, and there was times I would just look at her and think, "Oh my gosh, am I going to lose her forever?" But the Lord was faithful. I mean, He even used non-believing principal at the school to. I mean, I would pray, "Reveal to me what I need to be, what I need to know, Lord, this day." And my telephone would ring, and it would be that principal. So the Lord used other people to bring that sin out, and I drove around her school every day as I saw her walk up to those people, and I prayed did a prayer drive around the school. So I did many things wrong, trust me. But the Lord, you know that scripture that says, why was he affected? Because was it his parents or him that sinned?
John chapter 9, right? Why he was born blind, right?
Yes, and the scripture, that scripture reminds me that even something like this, in the end, and this is what I rejoice over, is that after all this, after the Lord brought her through this, and she was delivered out of it, and she knows she was delivered. Just so you know, she knows that
praise God.
That it wasn't because I didn't do the right things, or I did do the right things, or whatever, or that she did. It was so that the Lord would be glorified, because there was many people that watched, including that principal, that said,
thank God,
basically said, she's lost to this world. And I said, like the scripture says, where you take and you do the memorial stones, where he talks about in the Old Testament. And I said, I don't know if the Lord's going to, she belongs to him. I don't know if it's going to be 5 minutes, 5 days, 5 years, but he will deliver her out of this.
Yeah. And Monica, I've just got to jump in, but thank God for your perseverance and for your love and for your care. Real quick, how old is your daughter now?
She's 20, about to be 21.
Okay, and she looks back at this as the enemy got in, God set her free, and she's moving forward. So you can also tell parents that there really is deliverance and freedom.
There
hey,
is.
Monica, thanks for sharing your testimony, because bottom line, it's about people, it's about individuals, it's about our kids, it's about our families. We show them unconditional love. We don't need to keep bashing them over the head with things. We show them unconditional love. We make our standards clear and then love on them, pray them through. Ultimately, every battle with every issue we face in life ultimately is a spiritual battle. Thank you for the call. Laverne in Grayson, Georgia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, can you hear me?
I can, Laverne.
Hey, Dr. Brown. Okay, I like listening to your shows. I used to listen to you when I was living in Jersey. You know, there is something. I am a preacher and called by God and appointed by him. And there is something that I'm hearing a lot of about what we must do, we must do, we must do. Yes, it's true. We must do. But the thing is, we can't do without including Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
And I hear this thing, and so many people who say they are Christians and whatnot, I hear on the news, I hear out in the public truck driver, and I hear about people are so worried about their kids and so forth. But I look at the Christian parents. I look at them especially. A lot of people, a lot of Christian parents and whatnot, they're not doing with their kids that they said to do. You see, we are trying to go about winning a spiritual battle, trying to win a spiritual battle when we can. There has to be a deliverance. Jesus died for the sins of the world. The world is in the condition that it is in because of sin. All right? And in order for the world to overcome the darkness that they walk in, they have to be delivered. And the Bible
Laverne, just to jump in, because these things are spiritual battles, if we don't have standards in our home, if we don't involve ourselves in our kids' lives, if we don't help them to encounter God, if we don't pray for them, and we just allow them to be influenced by their peers, influenced by sometimes godless teachers, influenced by the media, we're like opening the door for the filth and the junk and the corruption to come pouring in, and then we're just going to come like with a little broom. And no, it's a spiritual battle. And ultimately, Laverne, I've said it many times, the greatest problem in America is not so much the presence of darkness, it's the absence of light. It starts with us as leaders. It starts with us as parents. It starts with us as individual followers of Jesus. As we do what's right, change will come. Thank you for the call. That reminds me, boy, I didn't mention it the first hour. I've got a really important article on townhall.com. I'm writing a lot of articles. This is my fourth in a week. And this is essential reading. Trust me on this. Separation of church and state, misinformation and hypocrisy. Separation of church and state, misinformation and hypocrisy. This will set things right in terms of what separation of church and state really means and will inspire you to do what is right. I close the article with a quote from John Adams. Yes, one of our founding fathers, John Adams, in 1798. Quote, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." John writes, Glory to God, 3 exclamation points. I like that. Amen. I would like to ask a verse in the Bible which I really need to meditate for me to be anointed, where God may use me to share the salvation and his righteousness. And also, please, excuse me, email me the important verses in the Bible to stand every time unbelievers will ask me, did Jesus say he is God? Thank you and God bless. John, can I encourage you to read through the Gospel of John several times, read through it and note all that Jesus says about himself, and pray about those things, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and the resurrection and the life, and the door, and the great shepherd, and the great I am who was before Abraham existed, the Word made flesh. Meditate on those, and then meditate also on Romans chapters 3 through 8. I believe God will give you revelation on salvation and righteousness as well.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I am not opening up this subject again for discussion from the first hour, but I do want to take one more call on it. The first hour, I asked you answered a question about ghosts. What are ghosts? Are they departed human spirits? If so, how come they're not either in heaven or hell or asleep waiting for the resurrection? Or could they be demons? And I said plainly that if there is such a thing as ghosts, in other words, people are actually encountering some spiritual being, even if it looks like a family member or whatever, it's a demon. It's only demonic spirit. It's deception. It's destructive. And it would not be a human spirit of the departed now coming to commune with us or speak with us or give us revelation or information. That's the way that the devil comes in to deceive and to bring people into bondage. I asked the question, did anyone think they saw a ghost? And one of our callers has been on hold for a while. So, Lanny in Orange, Texas, thanks for holding. What kind of encounter did you have?
Well, first, let me say that I'm a Christian. I don't really believe in ghosts. And in about 1948, in there, I was 4, 5, 6 years old, lived across the street from a graveyard. And one particular day, the dogs, all the neighborhood dogs, just went crazy. And I looked over, they was having a funeral just inside the fence. And up above the crowd was this looked to me like a soldier. And it was a soldier burial. But the thing that I saw was he was in his dress uniform and huge. I mean, he was... No body at all, but it was, I could visualize this soldier boy, and like I said, he was in the spirit there, just really huge. I was just a little kid. I didn't know what I was saying, but it has never left me. I don't understand that. I just don't understand that at all.
So you didn't make anything of it now as you look back. You're still not sure what it was.
I know it was certainly the image of this soldier.
Right, certainly the image of it. Now, was this person a believer from what you know?
Oh, I have no idea. I was just a little kid. And,
Got it.
I have no idea who they were.
Yeah, so as we look at it, there would be 4 choices. You know, one, that it was a complete hallucination, but why would you see it? I mean, why that particular day? It seemed like something real that you saw. But there's always one possibility. Our mind was playing tricks on us. Another possibility was that it was the spirit of this person, maybe they were a believer, maybe the spirit ascending to heaven, to God's presence. I mean, that's sketchy. I put a massive question mark next to that, but possibly. Could it have been an angel? If it was an angel, why would the angel be looking like that person? Then could it have been some demon, and the demon was there? Maybe it was some act of deception. Maybe the enemy was trying to pull you into deception back then, and God kept you from it. You know, it's a question mark, but the one thing for sure is that there are not spirits of departed human beings floating all around the earth today and showing up in different places.
I don't believe in that either. So I'm not questioning.
Understood. I asked a question, and you called in with information, and probably others are nodding their head. Yeah, I had this happen. Or I had that happen. But like I said,
I thought the same too, because the dogs was going so crazy. I mean, they were howling, barking. And that's not the first time that I had heard the dogs, you know, wondering what they was barking about.
Yeah.
But that was the only time that I saw any kind of a strange acting like that.
Yeah, and it could well have been some kind of demonic manifestation, and others were also getting stirred. You know, animals were sensing something strange was going on, and it could have been an attempt early on to get you looking at that realm. You never know. Looking at that realm and considering it and trying to figure out what's happening there. And in any case, God kept you, and here you are today following him. I'm glad you didn't make a doctrine out of it either, Lenny. But thanks, sir, for holding and for sharing that with us. I appreciate it. And I have no reason to doubt that you saw it. You know what I'm saying? Because there is a real spiritual realm, and these things can be seen and sensed at different times. But like I say, when these things are happening, unless it's an angelic being sent by the Lord to minister to us and turn us to truth or to protect and deliver, then it's some demonic spirit masquerading and trying to deceive and destroy. But thank you, sir, for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. Dwayne, I really appreciate your ministry. I'm currently reading your book, Go and Sin No More, and find it an amazing read. Thank you, Dwayne. I currently pastor a small Pentecostal church. Due to our size, I have to work a full-time job. This can be difficult at times. I find the need to learn better leadership skills. I battle extremely hard the lonely feeling that there are only a few who care about their pastor. They take up a monthly offering for me, and there are months they forget it, but I don't say anything. Some who are in a position are not as organized or thoughtful as they should be. What resources are there that I can tap into to help me be a better leader? Thank you for your response. Dwayne, I want to send you some of my CDs just on a number of spiritual life subjects just to help you and minister to you. Some of our CDs where you can listen to a number of messages on MP3. So you'll be getting a note from Katie. If you give us your address, I want to send you some free resources that I hope will just strengthen you in the Lord. I would absolutely share with others openly, hey, I'm working. I'm pouring my heart out to do this work, and it's my joy and privilege to pastor and lead this church. And I would gladly teach the people, say from 1 Corinthians 9, that the laborer is worthy of his hire, and that this is what God ordained. Those who preach the gospel should live by the gospel and just say, hey, as you're able to help meet our needs here, I can serve you better. I can give more and more time to you and more energy to you. And that's what often happens with small churches or young churches. But it's fine to tell the people, because you're not doing it for selfish motives. You want to be able to serve them better and have more time for the work of the Lord and more time to minister to your community. As far as leadership books, I have not read a lot of leadership books personally. Some people are just experts, you know, 20 great books by John Maxwell, or, you know, Gene Getz, Measure of a Church, or Man, you know, and just practical things for personal growth and for church ministry. But a book I read some years ago, Leadership Secrets of Billy Graham, I found really helpful because it gives a vision of hope. Okay, here, for sure, classic one, 21 Laws of Leadership by John Maxwell. One of the best leadership books out there. Certainly, Dwayne, if you haven't read it, that would be helpful for you. One I really like, Leadership Secrets of Billy Graham, and it really gave insight on a practical level about ministering hope to people and living in a way that imparts hope and vision to others. But when we get your address, I want to just send you a few resources, not specifically on leadership, but just to build you up, edify you, that you can listen to at different times. All right, friends, if you missed it yesterday, we're doing this again today. The Real Kosher Jesus, you get the hardcover, and we're giving you the paperback free. So $30 includes postage for both. The hardcover, Real Kosher Jesus, we're getting amazing reviews from people. People are writing me emails, the book, exclamation points. And I'm so thrilled to see the effect it's having on Christians, and now it's getting into Jewish hands as well. We can't wait to see what happens. You can only get the hardcover from us, so get the hardcover. We'll give you the paperback free, $30 postage paid for both books. But call right now to order, because you can't do this online. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Once more, that's 1-800-278-9978. Remember, next week, special broadcast for the entire week. It's time to take a stand.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on this Friday on the Line of Fire. You've got questions, we've got answers. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Anything in my area of expertise, anything that we've talked about on the Line of Fire before, anything you want to challenge me on, question further, or something on your mind, reading scripture, talking to friends in church about something in your messianic congregation, running into a controversy, trying to get clarity. You don't have to mention who the person is that said what, or what the church or group was, but you can mention the details of the issue, and this way we can explore it fully without embarrassing anyone unnecessarily. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, my email stack. Tell you what, I'm going to go right to the phones. Stephen in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How you doing, Stephen?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
I kind of got a two-part question. In Genesis chapter 49, and I remember reading about Judah, and like, why is it that Jesus is called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah? Is it because of that blessing that Jacob produced over Judah?
It goes beyond that, Stephen. Lion, of course, has to do with triumph. Lion, of course, is the king of the animal kingdom and revered as such. So Jesus is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah in Revelation, the fifth chapter. That's the one time it's explicitly mentioned. It has to do with his rule, his reign, his authority. And Judah is the Messianic tribe, beginning in Genesis 49, and then David being from the tribe of Judah. So Jesus is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah because that's the tribe through whom the Messiah came. And Lion has to do with, yes, he dies as a lamb, but he's ultimately the Lion who will rule and reign as king. So it starts in Genesis 49, then it goes all the way through the reign of David. He's also the root and offspring of Jesse, David from Isaiah 11, Revelation 22. So it's all the same imagery being carried out there. But the lion is not specifically related to Genesis 49. The lion is specifically related ultimately to his role as the lion in terms of its ultimate application.
Okay, appreciate it. And I got a coworker who was talking about the homosexual vote that we just, well, not the homosexual, but the amendment we just talked about, we just had May 8th.
And, yes, sir, the marriage amendment.
How do you talk to someone or witness to someone to change it from when they say, you know, you should be able to get married, doesn't matter who, just as long as you love that person?
Yeah, just ask him, can two brothers marry? Ask him if that's okay. Can two brothers marry? Or what about a father with his grown daughter? Can they marry? Or what about a 30-year-old man who really loves a 15-year-old boy? Can they marry? And they would all say no. If they have a head on their shoulders, they'll say no. You say, well, why not? And they'll say, well, so what you want to do is get them to define marriage. And marriage has always been the union of a man and a woman. I now pronounce you husband and wife, not husband and husband or wife and wife. It's the only thing we've ever known. And so the first thing is you want to ask them, well, can two brothers marry? Can two sisters marry? How about, you know, 50-year-old guy and a 12-year-old if they love each other? And they'll all have their reasons. And say, what about, hey, Muslims, a lot of them have multiple wives. If they come to America, can they marry three or four wives? Is that okay? And either they're going to say yes to everything, in which case it's crazy, it's completely crazy. Or they're going to say no to certain things and say, based on what? And then what you want to ask them is, why does the state even care about marriage? Why does the state get involved? The state doesn't tell us how many kids we have to have. The state doesn't tell us, you know, whose hand we can hold walking down the street or something like that. Why does the state get involved? The state gets involved in marriage because marriage conveys benefits on the state. And that's why the state conveys benefits on marriage. And the state is interested in having children for the next generation. And the only ones who by rule can procreate and join a kid to a mom and dad are heterosexuals. And that's the only reason the state has gotten involved in marriage. All right, Stephen, thanks for the questions. If you need more info, drop us a line at askdrbrown.org.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, I want to encourage you to go to townhall.com. As soon as you get a break, I posted 4 articles there in the last week. Today's Separation of Church and State, Misinformation and Hypocrisy is such an important read. Some tremendously important quotes from Yale Law Professor Stephen Carter and Dr. Martin Luther King and Founding Father John Adams, and really exposes erroneous thinking about separation of church and state, and then the importance of the role of God's people in society. So I encourage you to read at townhall.com, Separation of Church and State, Misinformation and Hypocrisy. All right, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You've got questions. We've got answers. Benjamin is wondering why I don't believe in a pre-trib rapture. He's reading the book Footsteps of the Messiah by Dr. Arnold Fruchtenbaum, dealing with the section in the rapture there. First, Dr. Fruchtenbaum is a friend, but a wonderfully deep, serious student of the Word. So I encourage you to look at his arguments very, very seriously and very, very carefully. I do not hold to a pre-trib rapture, for quite a number of reasons. One being that I learned it not by reading the Bible over and over and over again, as I learned other doctrines, but by reading books about pre-trib rapture and so on, and separating the first phase of the second coming from the second phase of the second coming and so on, and having an appearing that was invisible and a visit that didn't reach here and so on. When I realized that I had learned it from books, not just from reading the Bible, and I was taught it rather than found it confirmed in Scripture myself, I stepped back. This was over 35 years ago, and I began to read it refresh and said it's not there. I would encourage you, Benjamin, to go to my website, askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire, and type in rapture, search for rapture, or dispensationalism, or pre-trib, and you'll see radio programs where we've discussed this in some length. Also, just look at Second Thessalonians. Look at it carefully. First chapter, Second Thessalonians, first chapter, and it is clearly laid out as it could be that Jesus comes to bring rest to us when he comes in flaming fire, bringing judgment on those who do not know God. There's much more to say, but check out those radio broadcasts where we've got into it in more depth. That being said, I work with friends that are pre-trib rapture friends. I work with others. I don't even know what they hold to. We've never discussed it. We are friends and co-workers. I do want to emphasize that the main emphasis in the New Testament is not the when, but the what. Not the timing of the return, although we're to live in readiness, but the what of it, the reality that we will be changed and we will become like him. Lori in Palm Harbor, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I had a question regarding when you die, because there's parts in scriptures where it says that God will raise the living and the dead, and at that point in time, you will be judged. A Christian friend of ours told us that in Revelation, it tells us that Christians will not be judged. I've never read that anywhere in Revelation, but I have that question, and also related to that, what happens to your soul until the point in time when you are judged? Because our soul has to go somewhere, right?
Right. So the most obvious answer to the second part of your question that we get asked frequently on the air is that immediately upon death, because we die in a certain state, we die with the Lord or separated from the Lord. In other words, there is a reality, and that reality, just like a moment before someone has a heart attack, before they know it, there is something wrong in their body that's about to cause that. So those who are redeemed go to be with the Lord. Philippians 1, Paul was longing to depart and be with Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5, he spoke of being absent from the body, present with the Lord. The thief on the cross in Luke 23, today you'll be with me in paradise. Those verses would indicate that we leave and go into God's presence. And the teaching that Jesus gave in Luke 16 of the rich man and Lazarus would speak of some being in a place of torment and others being immediately in the presence of God. There are some Christian leaders over the years who have argued for soul sleep, that you close your eyes in death, and that when they see sleep in Scripture, they don't just take it as a metaphor, but actually that it's actually happening. And that the next thing when you open your eyes, it's the resurrection, so you're going to be with the Lord or separated. So they'd say it all works out the same either way. Your next conscious moment,
right,
you're either with God, being accepted or with God being rejected. As for judgment, 2 Corinthians 5 does say that we have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and Romans 14 speaks of us appearing before the judgment seat of Christ. And the parables of Jesus about us giving account, the parable of the talents and these other parables speak of accountability. So it is separate from what we would call the great white throne judgment of Revelation chapter 20, when all those whose names are not written in the book of life are cast into the lake of fire, as it's described there. We're talking about something totally different. This is not a judgment for our salvation. If we die as God's people, we are saved, we'll be with him forever. This is a judgment of accountability. What did we do with the gifts that we were given? What did we do with the abilities we were given? How did we line up to God's will? It is primarily for reward and accountability, and it does seem from Scripture that even though we have eternal life and will be with him forever, that there are varying rewards and varying degrees of responsibility and authority that we get in the world to come. So the Bible says a lot about judgment. 1 Corinthians 6, it even says we're going to judge angels. Matthew 19, it says the 12 disciples will be judging the regenerated Israel in the world to come. So there's a lot about this. But for us individually, we need to live soberly, recognize and we're going to give account. Not be judged. You gossiped. You thought a wrong thought. You lusted. You're angry with your kid. No, we turn to the Lord, we repent, our sins are forgiven, cleansed under the blood. But if God called me, for example, to be a missionary in China, and instead I'm just getting rich in business and taking up golf, I'm going to have to give account to him for my life.
Right. Okay.
All right,
well,
Lori.
So hey, I appreciate your help.
Sure. Hey, how far is Palm Harbor from Jacksonville, Florida?
Oh, goodness, about 2-3 hours.
All
I
right.
have an Amazon Jacksonville. I've driven it many times.
All right. Well, that's as close as I'm going to be in Florida these next coming weeks. Bishop Paul Zink's church, New Life, Sunday morning, Sunday night in Jacksonville. If you're anywhere near there, please come by, friends, to our others. And Laurie, have a good Sunday. Unless you happen to drive a few hours, you've got nothing else to do. 866-34-TRUTH. Alan, shares his testimony, how he's come to faith. A little over a year now, read the Bible cover to cover, reread many portions of it, certain about the existence of God and Jesus. His wife has now been baptized, 3 children expressing a thirst for the word, which is wonderful, Alan. Yet through all of this, I still don't feel I have truly experienced God. If I have a gift, it remains hidden from me. If there's a plan for me, I'm unaware of it. Perhaps I'm just ignorant that where my family is today was part of that plan. Something seems to be holding me back. I do not have the joy of salvation I would expect when coming to Christ. Something is holding me back. Perhaps it's not been a full commitment, surrendering to God that is the issue. I ask you for your prayers that God grant me wisdom, that I may experience him in such a manner to help me make this breakthrough. May his blessing be upon you and all at AskDrBrown.org. Alan, a few things without knowing you personally. Number one, thank God for what he's done in your life and build on that. Not to try to earn his favor, not as if you're working for a boss and the harder you work, you're going to get a bonus or a raise or something like that. No, not at all. But rather pressing in to know him better, to spend more time with him. Just like someone working out in the gym is going to develop muscle. Spiritually, we spend time in his presence. We become more like him. I'd encourage you to be a worshiper. I'd encourage you to find some worship music that you really enjoy, be it old hymns, be it contemporary music, and to worship the Lord. If you put it on your house, if you put it on your car, begin to worship the Lord and put your attention on him and glorify him and thank him. I believe as you do that, you'll find more and more joy. I also encourage you to walk in the light that you have. If you know good, do it now. If you know, here's someone that has a need, I can visit this person in the hospital. Here's someone I can share the gospel with. Do what you know how to do on a daily basis. Walk in the light you have, and God's plan for you will become clearer. God's gift operating you will become clearer. In other words, when you get the ship moving, it can now define itself more and more and get out in those waters and start to be what it really is. And I'd also say this, go after God like you never have before. On my website, AskDrBrown.org, there are a number of messages, free audio messages. You can just search for Holy Desperation, or you can look for free resources under audio and the Revival resources. listen to the Holy Desperation message. Maybe listen together with your wife, and then respond as you feel led. Pray, cry out to God. Perhaps there is that deeper place of surrender. Perhaps that there is that thing that you must have in terms of breakthrough, and that's why you feel dissatisfied. Many times it's that holy dissatisfaction that produces the holy desperation, and out of that holy desperation, transformation comes. I've been through that. I've lived through it many, many times in my life, and it's painful, but what comes out of it is glorious and wonderful. All right, back with your calls, 866-34-TRUTH, and I'll try to get to a couple more emails. Remember, next week, every broadcast, special time next week. It's time to take a stand. I believe you'll be encouraged and changed by the broadcast.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. You've got questions. We've got answers on this Friday. Let me go back to the phones. Mike in High Point, North Carolina. All right, we lost Mike. JJ in Honolulu. We lost JJ. You got to be kidding. All right, before I go back to other calls, let me answer some more email questions. Elizabeth, I just got a chance to listen to the show on repentance, holiness, and legalism via podcast, which is earlier this week, and the topic led me to another question. I have a friend who said they were saved, and this was evidenced by their lives for several years, but then something happened in their lives that they gave into sin that they had sworn they'd never give into, and according to them, had not since given into the time since they were saved. Because of shame and fear that they'll just fail again, they feel that they are unable to turn back to the Lord. They said they feel stuck in continuing sin. They asked me if their salvation was lost. I said no, but I honestly don't know if what I said was the truth. I can say that the joy and peace that they have had since I have known them is gone. Also, from what I understand, backsliding is the sin of witchcraft, and God hates it. So I guess I actually have two questions. Was I incorrect in telling this person that their salvation was not lost? And what is the truth when it comes to a Christian who's backslid? Two, I encourage them to depend on God's mercy and love and repent, but I feel that even if I was correct, I should have said more or something different. I feel completely inadequate to handle the situation, but my friend is unwilling to see a pastor, mine or theirs, or any of the church elders. How should I have counseled them? Okay, very important question and relevant to many of you listening, because this is your own life or this is the life of a family member or friend. So let me take a few minutes on this. It is not for me to tell someone whether they are saved or not, if they are backslidden, if they're in sin. Let's say, for example, someone was walking with the Lord and they were married and now they've left their spouse and they're living in adultery with someone and they're struggling and they feel miserable, but they don't know how to get out of it. Am I saved? That's not for me to tell them. I can tell them that no adulterer will enter the kingdom of heaven. The word is explicit on that. But they're struggling. They're trying to repent, break free. Well, I can tell them no adulterer will enter the kingdom of heaven. Where do you find that? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5. It's not really a debatable subject on that level. Jesus makes it clear that living in adultery, walking in adultery, can cause us to burn. I don't mean in lust. I mean fires of hell, Matthew 5. That being said, we know God's mercy is extraordinary and deep and rich, and he keeps drawing us back to himself. So the first thing I would tell this person is I can't tell you whether you are saved or not. I can tell you if you die in sin and die rejecting God's grace and die refusing to repent, then you'll be lost. I can tell you that. Some would say the person was never saved. Some would say no matter what the person's doing, they can't lose their salvation. Just be careful with what you tell someone. Better to say, I can't answer that question for you, or to give them scripture that warns them. For example, if you're a Calvinist, you believe in predestination and perseverance of the saints, and you hold to a classical Calvinistic view, and this person is living in sin, then in your view, either they were never saved, or if they're truly saved, they will repent and turn to God, but they will not die living in sin and rebellion. There's not a verse in the Bible that says if someone dies in sin and willful rebellion, in other words, they turn their back on God, they deny Jesus. I'll make it as graphic as they can. They turn their back on God, they deny Jesus, they renounce him, they become a Hindu, and then as a Hindu, they give themselves to serial killing and die in that state, blaspheming God. They're not going to heaven. They are not God's child. No murderer has eternal life. The Bible's totally playing on that. There is not a verse. There is not a verse anywhere in the Bible that if you die in overt, outward rebellion against God and rejecting Jesus, that you make it in. In fact, he says, if you deny me, I'll deny you. That being said, the door is completely open for this person to come back. Proverbs 24 says, a righteous man falls 7 times and gets back up. The Lord picks that person up. Luke 15, the threefold parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. The father, representing the heavenly father, comes running when the son comes back. Did the son know that he would never, ever, ever go back? No, the son just knew he couldn't live the way he was living, and he'd rather be a servant in his father's house than live the way he was living. And of course, the father embraced him again as a son. The whole story of the Old Testament is turn back, turn back, turn back, turn back. Look at Jeremiah 2 and 3 and 4. Turn back, turn back, turn back, and God will have mercy. God will have mercy. He's rich in mercy. What this person needs to do is just take a step and not make a vow and not make a promise. Ask God for forgiveness. When Jesus died for your friend, Jesus knew that she was going to blow it, and he died for her. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I've made vows to the Lord and kept them now over 40 years later, and I'm ashamed to say I made other vows to the Lord, especially as a young believer, that I didn't keep. I repented, I apologized, I'm sorry, Lord, and I went on, but I don't go around speaking like that now. I would encourage you also to visit the website prodigalsonly.com. My friend, Evangelist Steve Hill, put this together at the leading of the Lord, prodigalsonly.com. This way she doesn't have to talk to another person. She can go right online and she can get ministry. The door is open wide. It is the devil and her own mind, lies from hell, condemning her, keeping her away. It is absolutely not God pushing her away. Any guilt she feels is either the condemnation in her own heart or the Holy Spirit convicting her. Condemnation says, away from me, you're guilty. Conviction says, come near to me, you're guilty, because God wants to restore and cleanse. So open the door, open the door, open the door, open the door. Encourage her to step through. Assure her there's mercy. No matter what she's done, God's mercy is greater still. Friends, this is a wonderful opportunity to get The Real Kosher Jesus, and when you order the hardcover, we will give you the soft cover back free with it, the paperback free. It's a $16 book, the paperback of The Real Kosher Jesus. You'll get it free when you order the hardcover, and we're the only ones that have the hardcover. It's our ministry exclusively puts that out. So The Real Kosher Jesus, a book we're getting rave reviews about, people's eyes open, they can't put the book down, it's changing their lives and their perception as they read it. For a believer, and then give one to unsaved Jewish friend or another family member or pastor, leader, they'll be blessed. $30 postage paid for the two books. $30 postage paid, hardcover version of The Real Kosher Jesus, plus the paperback, $30 postage paid, 1-800-278-9978. This is not available online. You need to call. That's how we have it set up. We just decided to give this special offer yesterday, so take advantage of it. 1-800-278-9978. Real Kosher Jesus hardcover. We'll give you the paperback free and we'll pay the postage. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, as I read the emails of those struggling, I want to encourage you that God's mercies are new every morning. I want to encourage you that he longs for your fellowship and he longs to have you back. Whoever you are, wherever you are, turn to him. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. He'll meet you where you are. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you.
It was a strip club in Miami, and one of the strippers had been murdered by her husband. The elderly Christian ladies from the church up the street wanted to be, well, Christian.
They prayed.